Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Welcome back into our Halloween Thursday night edition at the Treasure Chest Casino Sports Talk. We're inside the Game Bar and Grill as we're counting down to Thursday night football. An interesting one on tap tonight. You heard Charlie in the Sports Flash mention the New York Jets favored at the Houston Texans this evening.
Yeah, and man, we've had a couple people on actually pick them, the Jets to win. I don't know what they've been watching, but again,
I can't be worried too much about a guy, you know, the wide receiver being down for the Texans and Stephon Diggs.
They got more than that.
Right, exactly.
They got a lot more than that. Now, to me, the straw that turns the drink for them, other than C.J. Stroud, is Joe Mixon.
For sure.
And when he's in the lineup,
the Bunk will sure miss him.
Man, and again, Joe got his issues,
right,
and he didn't want to be in Cincinnati. That was obvious, and he did what he had to do to get out. But, man, Joe Mixon, big-time runner in this league. He's a power runner, and he creates speed with that lower body power. He's a hell of a football player. And, man, defensively, they haven't hit stride yet, but you can see that they got some big-time talent on defense for him. So, man, can Aaron Rodgers make a play or two tonight? I don't know. I would stay away from the game, to be honest with you. Too many people have picked the Jets. To me, the obvious thing is the Texans are a much better team, but sometimes that don't work that way, right?
No, it doesn't seem to compute there. When the line came out, I was like, really, New York's the favorite in this matchup, when clearly the Texans are the better team. I guess being
the Jets have played El Stinko all year long.
And I was going to say, being at home might be their only advantage in this matchup.
That's the only advantage. Because, man, Rodgers, okay, you get your coach fired, and you claim you don't know nothing about it, and then you talk to the owner the night before, and we didn't talk about it. Come on, be real. I didn't tell the owner to go out and get Devontae Adams.
Sure,
what?
Come on.
Yeah, come on. And then they signed Hassan Reddick.
Right.
You know, they finally signed him. How long that was? Your team had him for a while, and they said, oh, enough of that.
They sure miss him, too.
Do they? And, pass rushers are a premium in this league.
Right.
And so you can cut up and do sort of things, and you get paid again, and that's Hassan gets paid again.
Talent, baby.
That's all what it's about.
We went through the Saints injury report, Mike, and the Pelicans injury report for tomorrow night's game against the Pacers in the Smoothie King Center came out. We know now that C.J. McCollum and Herb Jones will be out for tomorrow night's game against Indiana. Meanwhile, you got Jordan Hawkins, Eves Missy, Daniel Tice are listed as questionable going into this game. And we do know, obviously, guys like
What's wrong with me saying? Right lower abdominal contusion? Would that mean a bruise?
Right, exactly.
So, again,
we know the other two guys were out, for the Pellies, too. And I'm drawing a blank. Thank you. Yeah. Tim Murray and Trey Murphy. I couldn't get Trey's name out of my mouth, even though that's what he hits. Should be easy.
the one thing, if you follow sports and sports talk, you get to learn about every part of the human body. Because, man, we go through it weekly with injuries, and so you get to know it.
I stole that line. CJ, right adductor soreness.
Yeah, and I stole that line from Dr. David Elias, who's on with us from Marthel Lace. And, Mike, I'm teaching you something about medicine. I know some things about a lot of things, but now I'm getting to teach you about medicine, what I had to learn. So, yeah, it's funny.
Looking at tonight's game, Mike, you know, you're going into this matchup, the Texans at the Jets. Really disappointing for New York. Obviously, they had high expectations this year, and it's unreal to think they're in pretty much the same situation as the Saints right now.
Exactly the same spot. The same record, in the same spot. And, you know, if this doesn't work, then Woody Johnson got to blow it up.
Right. You want to talk about blowing it up. The New York Jets are at a point right now that – and Aaron Rodgers mentioned this last year. He's like, if we don't get things done this coming season, we're all going to get fired.
Everybody.
Right, exactly. Nobody's safe.
Other than Mr. Johnson. Okay. Mr. Johnson owns the
check,
team.
Right.
He stays there, but from Joe Douglas on down, you can see that's going to be a clean sweep. And they dysfunctional at this point where you're letting – your 40-something-year-old quarterback
right,
kind of making personnel decisions? Not real good.
Looking at the Texans squad, though, obviously C.J. Stroud has been as advertised since coming into the league, and just really awesome to see this guy keeping developing.
Better.
And yeah, exactly. And
he's definitely, better.
You don't see it, I feel, enough nowadays with these early picks of quarterbacks in the draft where they end up panning out. Maybe you're better off going number two overall. Look at Stroud and look at C.J. Daniels, right?
Yeah. Bob and I were talking about this, that, you know, you think about C.J., and Bob's like, you know, I think that the Texans saw he had talent, but it was more maybe potential of what he could do.
Yeah.
And he was never known as a scrambler or a runner. He's, man, you sort of locked into the pocket. Now, he does have movement skills, but he's not known for his running ability. But it's how quickly he can process information. And that, I think, is the key. I talked to Sean Payton about that. And he was like, man, Mike, that's the hardest thing to judge from college to the pros, how quickly you can process it.
When that pressure's dialed up even more.
And like he said, that, you know, guys, you play in the SEC, that's really good talent.
Yeah.
You come in the NFL, they all look like that. You know, so it's a different story. I think I give C.J. Stroud a lot of credit there, that how quickly he has developed as a quarterback and a good one in the National Football League, and what he's played a year and a half. And last year he didn't really have a running game.
Right.
Now you got Joe Mixon. And if he can get his receiving core healthy, we know Diggs is gone for the year, but they got to get Nico Collins back in the lineup. I think he's such a big part of that. And their offensive line, man, off the edges, are they getting pressure on Stroud? So he's having to throw it real quick. They put a lot of pressure on people. And the other guy that, as advertised, Will Anderson.
For sure.
From Alabama. He's a Pete Jenkins guy.
Talk about hitting in drafts, man. The Texans did it last year, right? Yeah.
And Pete had always told me, Mike, man, I've really worked with a lot of guys. He's not the most talented, but he's the most focused, and he works so hard. And he said he's only scared of one thing in life. His three sisters, who used to beat the crap out of him when he was young. He said, that made him really tough. And he said, Mike, that's the only thing that scares him. The three sisters, if they used to gang up on him and, you know, kind of left him there. Okay, say something again now. But he said, I think the three sisters, you taking care of it. Everything's good. Will,
right, exactly.
But we made you tough.
We are going to take a break. When we get back, we'll get into some more NFL, talking about Saints game, obviously, and all the action around the league. Getting with Dalton Wasserman, PFF analyst, also co-host of PFF College Football Show. So we'll do some NFL and college talk coming back after the break right here on WWL at the Treasure Chest Casino. See you here right after this.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports.
With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back into Sports Talk here at the Treasure Chest Casino here till 7 o'clock, and then Thursday night football gets underway. Week 9 action starts with the Houston Texans at New York Jets. We'll have that for you right here. Happy to welcome in now Dalton Wasserman, PFF data analyst and co-host of the PFF College Football Show. Dalton, how you doing, man? Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween. How you guys doing this week?
Doing great. Looking forward, hopefully, to a matchup this week for the Saints. It can't get any easier for them going into this matchup. I mean, if they can't snap this six-game skid on Sunday against the Panthers, it might be completely time to pack it in for this squad.
That's the best part. When you do talk show radio in Charlotte, they're saying, man, if we can't beat the Saints, we'll never win another game this year. So we catching it the other way.
Right.
Hey, something has to give, and I'll tell you what, those two attitudes might just lead you to a tie. But no, I'm kidding. But no, I think you're right about the Saints' angle on this, especially with Derek Carr coming back, and the offense should just stand a better chance to be more functional than it's been in the past couple weeks, right? When you talk about having the passing game, getting back into the play action that they've wanted to get into, and Carr will release the ball a little bit quicker as a veteran guy than we've seen from Rattler and from Jay Kaner to kind of protect that offensive line a little bit. And Carolina's defense, honestly, you know, I know they didn't have high expectations coming into the year, but they were a decent unit last year, and it's really bottomed out. I've been kind of disappointed by Carolina's defense. So this is, I think, more for, you know, considering both teams' fan bases may be saying the same thing, I think it's more of a get-right spot for the Saints.
Absolutely. When you look at it overall in the NFC South, before the season, I thought the Bucs were the team to beat. Again, they got a lot of injuries, and, you know, it's not easy to replace big-time guys off the edge. When you got Mike Evans and then Chris Godwin goes down for the season, and yet they put up a lot of points on the Falcons' defense, which goes to show you the Falcons' defense ain't that great either. But I think right now the Falcons are in kind of the right spot. If they're going to win it, you got to win it this year with a team that doesn't seem to have a great pass rush with the Bucs, and who knows who plays receiver for him from week to week. I think this is the spot. And Kirk Cousins, we always thought, man, no matter where Kirk played, if it was Washington, Minnesota, or Atlanta, he was great against the Saints. Ah, see, he's doing the exact same thing against Tampa. Now he was lousy against Seattle. But I think right now, for me, Atlanta looks to be the team in the driver's seat.
Yeah, I agree. And I mean, and they do have their flaws, and the Falcons really don't have a great pass rush either. But at least offensively, you know what they have, right? You have Cousins, who's always solid. He's been solid for his whole career. You have two good running backs back there behind a good offensive line that can really run the ball. Drake London's good on the outside. Kyle Pitts has seen kind of a resurgence at tight end now for them. I think you have enough pieces where you feel like, even if they're not the most complete team, say, in the entire conference, you do feel like they're the most complete team in the division, right? They have enough on defense to keep them in games. And Cousins, I think the biggest thing that you're seeing is that he's just brought that veteran stable presence, right, that they didn't have last year with a Desmond Ridder or with a Taylor Heineke or, you know, whatever they've been doing really since they got rid of – since they had to let Matt Ryan go. But, no, I think Cousins has been – a very stable force for them. They have a stable force really throughout their entire offense. And you mentioned it, all three of the other teams obviously have question marks or they're really struggling. So the Bucs, look, they need to stay afloat and get healthy. The problem is they got all these injuries coming through the toughest part of their schedule, right? I mean, they're playing Kansas City this week, and then I think it's San Francisco next week. These are games where they couldn't afford not to have those two guys at receiver especially. So Bucs are trying to stay afloat, and I'm with you. I think you have to look at the Falcons as the favorite in the division right now.
And, man, the NFC North, when you look at that, and Chicago, you know, my grandpa used to always say this. Some people, they're born with bad luck. Sometimes, you know, you take one step forward, two steps back. No, last week, I was a lucky play. And, man, listen, I'm the biggest Jaden Daniels fan in the world. But Bobby Hebert, he would say, Mike, every time I threw a Hail Mary up like that, guess what happened? It got intercepted. And nothing happened like this here. But you look at that division, how good Detroit is, and they're not just beating people. They like steamrolling over them. This week's game, your thoughts, going up against the Packers. I know Jordan Love is not close to being 100% with that injury, but I think it's going to – these two kind of football horses are going to make that race to the wire between the Lions and the Packers. And I think one of the two, they end up playing on Super Bowl Sunday.
I think it's entirely possible, and I think you look at the Lions, and I think when they're rolling and they have the momentum going like they have it right now, I think they have the best offense in football. It's just the play calling, Jared Goff sitting behind maybe the best offensive line in football, St. Brown on the outside, Gibbs and Montgomery, you know, at tailback. I mean, they just have everything you could want on top of A-plus schemes that use all these guys to their optimal strengths, right? And I think the Packers, you know, the Jordan Love thing, obviously they need Jordan Love to be as close to 100% as he can be to beat this team, but they spent a lot of the offseason fixing their defense for the purpose of beating teams like Detroit or San Francisco or the elite teams in the NFC, right? So now it's like they've gotten better. They've definitely gotten better. They forced a lot of turnovers. Xavier McKinney leading the league in interceptions, but this is going to be the week where we really find out, I think, especially with Love compromise, we find out about Green Bay's defense, if their defense can keep them in this game, because if the Lions get rolling, and that's a locomotive when it really gets rolling, they can score four, five, six drives in a row. It's a real problem for any team in the league. So Green Bay, I'm looking at their defense, trying to keep them in this game, then maybe even slow the game down a little bit with Josh Jacobs on offense.
When you look at, man, quarterbacks throughout the years, and you guys do a really good job breaking down the film and everything else, and we saw what C.J. Stroud did last year. But when you watch Jaden Daniels, it's like, this guy's a rookie? You know, have you seen somebody hit this league with that type of impact in year one at the most difficult position to play? And it's every once in a while you see that. I know RG3 did, you know, in his rookie year, and then he got all beat up. But to watch Jaden, I thought what C.J. Stroud did a year ago was remarkable. Jaden's playing better than him, which is really saying something in his rookie season. He's played, I thought he was always going to be a good player, but I never thought he could play like this quickly.
I'm with you, and I loved him at LSU. I actually thought he was the best quarterback coming out of this past draft. I know all the hype was on Caleb Williams, and Caleb Williams is great. He's going to be really good, but Jaden, just a special, man. I mean, you talk about the dual threat ability and making all those explosive plays that he does with his arm and his legs without really putting the football in danger, right? When he came out of college, you know, we have a thing called turnover-worthy plays where it's like, okay, how many times do you really put the football in danger? And he did that at the lowest percentage of any Power 5 quarterback that we had charted in 10, 11 years of doing it. So the fact that he makes all those explosive plays and you don't get a whole lot of negative with them, he helps in the passing game, obviously, with his arm, throwing especially over the middle of the field right now. He's been incredible. And then in the run game, you got to remember Washington's a top two or three rushing team as well. And I think the added dimension that he brings with his legs, whether it's him running the ball or even just the threat of him running the ball, holding those backside defenders, Jaden has just turned around that entire franchise. It's incredible to see what he's been doing. As long as he stays healthy, I mean, you're getting talks now about not just rookie of the year, because I think that's pretty clear, you know, right now it would go in his direction, but maybe even some MVP votes, because what he's got that team doing that was the second worst team in football last year, it's incredible. I'm with you. I thought he would come up and be a special player at some point. I did not think he would do it starting with the second or third game of his rookie season and then just turning it into a, you know, I mean, he's been a top five quarterback in the NFL this season, I think.
Dalton, when you look at it from a college standpoint, the big game this week, Penn State, Ohio State, and I do TV, and one of the guys I do it with is Rich Marty, former Penn State player there. And for the last 4 or 5 years, I've asked him, hey, is this the year Penn State's going to beat Ohio State? And he'd always shake his head, no, they're not beating Ohio State. So this coming Tuesday when we did the show, I asked him, what you think? And he's like, I think this is the year. He said defensively, they are as good as I've seen them over the last 5 or 6 years. And the quarterback situation is interesting, you know, because the backup guy now, boy, he's making a ton of plays. Your thoughts on Penn State, Ohio State? This would seem to be Franklin's year. If he's going to do it, he got to beat Ohio State this year.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. Look, and I think it's for Penn State, it starts with they got their new offensive coordinator coming over from Kansas this year, Andy Kotelnicki, and he's just brought such a different level of diversity to their offense in the run game, in the pass game. They're making explosive plays because the last few years their offense was very vanilla. There just wasn't a whole lot to it. Maybe they had talent, but this is a case where their schemes, I think right now he might be the best offensive play caller in the country. That's how good he's been this year. And Ohio State lately, it's been a struggle, right? I mean, they lost to Oregon. They really played a very tight game that maybe some people thought they wouldn't with Nebraska. And I don't know that Ohio State offensively is clicking on all the cylinders that maybe we thought they would. So you've got a game. I think actually it's going to be a lot of fun. I'll be in attendance for the game. It's going to be awesome. But you've got a game, I think, that is going to be a physical defensive fist fight. I think you got 2 of the 5 or 6 best defenses in the country. I think that's going to show up. And you mentioned Penn State's quarterback situation. Yeah, it could come down to whether or not Drew Aller is healthy. That could be the difference in winning and losing the game. But one of the adjustments, I'll tell you, if it is Bo Prevula, their backup quarterback, is that I mentioned Kotelnicki, their offensive coordinator. He's prepared for any situation. He was prepared for it last week at Wisconsin in a tough game. He'll be prepared for it one way or the other this week. I think it's as close to a toss-up game as you could possibly have. I think it's going to be a low-scoring defensive fistfight of a game.
One of the things in watching them when they played against USC Penn State was the offensive coordinator you brought up, and, man, I think he's doing a great job, but he saw USC never adjusted to the tight end. What he caught in that game, 14 passes or 15 passes? And my thing is, okay, after a while, you got to do something to slow them down, and they didn't do that, and that coach kept banging at it. You know what? They're not stopping it. I'm going after them. And he went for the jugular there. Now, they were lucky a little bit. I don't know what Lincoln Riley was thinking at the end of regulation, the way he handled those final 2 minutes. But they've got some weapons on offense that could maybe do enough to get them over the hump in a tight game.
Yeah, I agree with that. And, look, you mentioned the tight end there, Tyler Warren. One of the keys to their offense is finding all of those complex ways to line him up all over the place and get him the football regardless of where he's lined up. I mean, in that game, you mentioned the play where, hell, they found a way to line him up at center and throw him a touchdown. It's incredible some of the play designs that they have worked in there. But if there is one thing I'm worried about, and I'm glad you mentioned that game because they were down 20-6 at halftime in that game, and if there's one thing that Penn State does have a mini issue with, they get off to slow starts. It takes them usually a quarter and a half to really find the rhythm, especially offensively, and find what they think is going to work. I'll be honest with you, this year in the second half of games, they've been maybe the best team in the country, but they got to get off to better starts because against this Ohio State defense, you don't want a scenario where you're behind like 20-6 like that game, or you're down 7-0, 10-0 early, right? Because it's an elite defense they're going against, right? USC's got an okay defense. It's not near on the level of Ohio State. I think Penn State, they may want to change it up and maybe try to find some explosive plays, especially in the first quarter. That's what I see is they get off the slow starts, then they make the adjustments, then they get it together and they win ball games. But against an Ohio State team like this, you got to play all 60 minutes from start to finish.
Dalton, a huge letdown for the LSU Tigers this past weekend, obviously on a bye now this week. But your thoughts, early thoughts, I'll say, on their matchup next weekend when Alabama's coming to Baton Rouge.
Man, oh man, it's going to be a circus of a game. And I know those two teams are always playing circus games, but I personally really think the loser of that game is going to be out of the playoff with having a third loss already. And there's a lot of flaws with both teams. I mean, we've seen LSU. I think the issue for me is not having enough consistent balance on offense. I think, look, Garrett Nussmeier's really good. We know this, but there's times when I think they ask him to do too much and just drop back and throw the football. And it's just not the same as Jaden Daniels last year where he gave you that extra dimension with his legs, right, where it's like they're asking Nussmeier to do so much from the pocket to beat SEC defenses every week. It's tough. And Alabama, I mean, we just haven't seen them execute at a high, high level every single week, right? So you've got two teams that are both very good and look really, really good at times. And then you got also the same two teams who don't always play to their potential, or they do have some pretty clear flaws here. So I think it's going to be a very tough game to pick. I don't know if they've announced the time yet, but I'm assuming that's going to be a night game in Death Valley, like it always 30. Is in that game. And yeah, it is. Okay. So, I mean, it's going to be two. I think what you're going to see is two desperate football teams, because I think a third loss could very well eliminate either one of them from the playoff.
Your thoughts on Jalen Milroe, because I thought you'd see the leap in him as a passer. And he's skilled as a runner, and last year when they played him, if LSU was playing two-hand touch, he just scored every touchdown that he scored. They didn't even touch him. I mean, he was running free last year. And then what you saw last week, what Reed did against him against A&M, man, if I'm DeBoer, my thing is I'm going to make you show me you can stop that Reed option. And I think Milroe more used as a runner against LSU.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that's where the strengths have to lie there for Alabama against LSU's defense. Because you're right, that second half against A&M, it looked like they hadn't seen a read option all season, right? It was just a problem, and the schemes, and everybody just got sort of out of whack, and then the momentum really kept going. I think with Milroe, the two things you have to do are not let him kill you for a $150 on the ground, and you have to prevent the deep shots, because if there's one thing that he has a problem with, it's kind of like Anthony Richardson with the Colts, where he has a problem throwing underneath and staying patient, taking what the defense gives him, right? As long as you don't give up those big plays down the field, say to Ryan Williams, who's been great at receiver for them, the true freshman all season, he's a home run hitter. That's what he is, as a runner and a passer. If you prevent the home runs, then Milroe really starts to struggle, because he doesn't go out there and say, you know, just to use the baseball term, like hit singles and take those six-yard throws. The one time that he did it was in the Georgia game, and then you thought, okay, maybe he turned a corner, but then the next few games he went right back to the old habits. So Milroe, really, if you prevent the home runs, if you prevent the deep shots and you stop the run well enough, you're absolutely right. It's a clear plan. Alabama's very talented in offense, but it's very clear what you have to do against them also with those two things.
Great info, Dalton. Appreciate your time, and check out all your great work, obviously, at Pro Football Focus. Thank you again for joining us.
Thank you, Dalton.
Absolutely. Appreciate you guys, as always. Thank you.
Thank
PFF
you.
Has got you covered all season long with the best bets, tools, and analysis in the game. Sign up for PFF Plus today to unlock all their famous player grades and premium stats. Push to the playoffs in your fantasy league, and in-season tools and award-winning rankings from fantasy expert Nathan Janke. Just sign up for PFF Plus today for less than $10 per month. We're going to take a break. When we get back, triple option. Sounding off after this on WWL. We are back here at the Treasure Chest Casino inside the Game Bar and Grill. Steve Geller along with Mike D'Attilier, Charlie Long in studio, getting ready for our triple option feature right now. And Mike, you usually throw it to me. I'm going to throw it to you to lead off today.
Yeah, 65 years ago tonight. And, man, I saw it as a kid. Every sportscast would either start with it or end with it. Billy Cannon's Halloween Night Run. And, Charlie, you can gear it up.
He stands on his own 28. He gets a pass from center. He boots it and gets another nice kick away going way downfield. Billy Cannon watches it bounce. He takes it on his own 11. He comes back upfield at the 15, stumbles momentarily. He's at the 20, running hard at the 25, gets away from one man to 30. Some 89 yards for a touchdown. Listen to the cheer for Billy Cannon as he comes off the field. Great All-American.
65 years ago tonight, man, we did some shows with Billy. I mean, you talk about, man, he got stories. Good. You think Bobby got stories? No. he can top him. Oh, man, Billy had some stories. But the crazy thing about that is I got to talk to Paul Dietzel, who was the coach at LSU at that time. And, you know, his nickname was Pepsinant Paul. You don't remember Pepsinant. No, Luke remember Pepsinant. They used to be a toothpaste at one time. Okay. Man, he had that toothy smile. And he said, Mike, we had a rule at LSU. You can catch it on the run, catch it on the fly. But if that ball bounces, do not touch it. And he said, okay, I see it at the corner of my eye. Billy makes a move up, but he sees it's going to bounce. And he said, you know, all of a sudden, I think Billy was going to let it bounce. The ball bounced right to him. And he was like, no, 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 Billy, no. And he said it went from no, 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 Billy, to run, Billy, run, Billy, run. If you watch that film, watch the referee trailing Billy Cannon. Man, Billy Cannon was a really fast dude. That referee is like 2 or 3 yards behind him. Man, that referee could run pretty good back then. But it came down to a stop at the end. Ole Miss had a chance to win the game late. And who makes the stop on the fourth down play? They played two ways back then. Billy Cannon.
How on Halloween, baby.
On Halloween night.
Guys, I'm talking about a Saints player who's been dealing with concussions since he came into the league. Chris Olave suffered one his rookie year, two his rookie year, actually, and suffered a third just this past weekend and missed the Denver game, obviously dealing with that. He's considering wearing the Guardian cap for this matchup, and it just seems like
I would think this
a no-brainer to me. I thought he would have been in it last game as well, but didn't wear for whatever reason. But he is considering it, and for those who don't know, the Guardian cap, it's intended to reduce the risk of concussions. The leaks at the league meetings talked about it, said they believe it's a 52% reduction rate wearing the cap. And I know it looks a little strange, but you have that padding around there with the covering. It still looks – it's hard to decipher it being different from the other NFL helmets out there. Now, I don't know – how different of a feel is it for the player on the field, obviously? Does it impede them at all? That's the only reason I would think so. That Olave wouldn't wear that.
No,
to save your head, it seems like a no-brainer, obviously. No pun intended there.
Because of the fact, okay, a lot of people think you might be soft wearing that. Okay, NFL players, man, you're a tough guy to play in the NFL. You got to be.
Right.
But my
nice
thing
cap
is,
you got on.
My thing is, you can call me what you want. But after my career is over with and I can think straight,
yeah,
okay, that's what matters. And I've made a lot of money. And Chris has got a chance to do that. You got to worry about your health today, but also long-term health with it. And if you think it can help you, wear the cap. If you believe that, wear it. Don't worry about it. People say, oh, you're not a tough guy or anything else. Come on. They would wear it if they had money and their career on the line. So,
I'm sure the Saints team is recommending to him
anywhere. I bet they are. I bet they are. Because you want him out there,
right.
And you don't want him taking another hit. And he's had some lately.
Right.
Right to the head.
Even last game, without the Guardian cap on, I was like kind of holding my breath like, oh, no, here we go again.
Yeah, I know when we had Jen Hale on, she did the game in Miami with Tua. And she was like, that was a major.
He's not wearing
and
one
he
either.
He said, I'm not. I said, no, Jen, somebody got to convince him he got to wear that. And she said, Mike, nobody's going to convince him.
No comprende right there.
Oh, no.
Charlie, what you got for us on Triple Option today?
Guys, Mike, you say it all the time, but running the football still works in the modern-day NFL. And Brian Baldinger, our friend at Odyssey, put out a tweet earlier this week. He said the highest running percentage teams through the first 8 weeks, and he added their winning record right next to it. So I'm going to go one by one and just kind of talk about this real quick, guys. The Eagles, number one in the NFL, run the ball 55% of the time. They have a 5-2 record. Steelers, number two, they run the ball 54% of the time. They're at 6-2. The Ravens at 52% of the time, 5-3. The Lions, 52% of the time, 6-1. And the Commanders are number five. They're at 6-2, guys. And then Baldy adds here that there are six others that are all flirting at around 50%, and that's Buffalo, who's 6-2, Kansas City, who's 7-0, the Chargers, who are 4-3, Green Bay, who is 6-2, Minnesota, 6-2, San Francisco, who's 4-4, but they've dealt with a ton of injury issues, as we all know. And Baldy puts at the end, is this still a passing league? And so I remember we were talking after the first 2 weeks where the Saints were able to run all over both Carolina and, you know, Dallas. When Mark Schlereth came on and talked with us, Odyssey NFL insider, he basically said that it's kind of been a shift, right? Where for years it was a passing league, and so teams drafted accordingly. They kind of drafted these smaller, more speedy kind of defenders. And to combat that, some of these teams and the teams that, as I mentioned, have winning records are playing great football right now are able to run the ball and bully these opposing defenses. So it's kind of an interesting swing of kind of back to the old-style run game, guys. As Mike, you always say, you got to be able to stop the run and run the football. It seems like that's obviously a key for a lot of teams right now.
You know why I say it, Charlie? Every time I go to Louisiana line camp, all them 11 or 12 NFL assistant coaches and Pete Jenkins and Kevin Mawai, they say, man, if you can't run it, you're going to lose a lot of games. And we could see the general shift in it. And it's been gradual. But I think this year you see it even more. That now, okay, you want to play football chess against me? You get that smaller guy, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to put a bigger guy on that, and I'm going to run you. You get in front of Derrick Henry and see just how tough you are. Because Derrick Henry, they had Ole moves before, but he sort of invented defensive backs to get away from him in Ole moves. Because that guy, he'll run over you. And I do think now you're going to see more and more teams shifting where they pick running backs and linemen, offensive linemen. Because I think that's certainly the key to a running game. You're going to see them get picked much earlier than ever before.
That is a wrap on our triple option feature. We will take a break here on Sports Talk. Be right back at the Treasure Chest Casino, so stay tuned right here on WWL. Hey, I want to tell folks, join Bobby Hebert and Mike Dettillier in special edition of Sports Talk. You guys are going to be at Rouse's Market in Gulfport on Saturday. Don't miss a chance to meet up with the Cajun Cannon and WWL's NFL and college football analyst, Mikey D. They'll be at the brand-new Rouse's Market and Hansborough Square Shopping Center. You can hang out with the two Cajuns, talk some football, make some groceries with Bobby and Mike at the new Rouse's Market on 1444 East Pass Road in Gulfport. Saturday, that's 1 to 4 right here on WWL and the Free Odyssey app. We'll continue breaking down the Saints and what they've got coming up with Carolina right after these words here on WWL Saints Radio.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free health care. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the health care you earned and deserve.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.